Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a mushroom is far more than something you might fry up for your breakfast. Fungi comes in a dazzling variety of forms and has a central role in creating the world we live in. Merlin Sheldrake is the author of Entangled Life, How Fungi Makes Our Worlds, Changes Our Minds and Shapes Our Futures. And Merlin joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Merlin.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Now, there's an awful lot in your book. There's a lot to get through. So can we start with mycelium? Could you explain what it is and the seemingly huge role it plays in linking loads of other plants together?
Of course. So when we think of fungi, we normally think of mushrooms. But mushrooms are just the fruiting bodies of fungi, analogous to apples on a tree, for example. And most fungi spend most of their lives as branching, fusing networks of tubular cells, which is what we call mycelium. Mycelium can link plants together underground. It holds soil together and stops soil erosion from taking place. We're familiar with mycelium. Bread mold is mycelium, that kind of white, fluffy or purple, green, fluffy stuff that you see on moldy bread. Mm. But that's just mycelium in one small domestic context.
Does it have a role in trees and plants communicating with each other?
Yes. So almost all plants depend on fungal networks that grow in and around their roots and extend out into the soil, and they exchange nutrients with each other. So the plants eat light and carbon dioxide in the process of photosynthesis, and they exchange these sugars with their fungal partners in return for minerals from the soil. And the fungi are really good at getting minerals from the soil. And so these fungal networks attached to plant roots can connect to multiple plants because the fungi are promiscuous. And plants are promiscuous too and can connect to multiple fungal networks. And the result is shared overlapping networks, kind of social networks of plants and fungi. And through these networks, nutrients can pass and also signals can pass. So yes, there's some sense plants are socially networked by these fungi, and information can pass between them.
Now, and while there's no brain and there's no nervous system, do they seem to act in an intelligent way?
Yes. So we're used to thinking of intelligence as something that requires a brain, but that's really just an artifact of historical study, which has usually put the human mind at the center of the inquiry of intelligence. So there are lots of organisms that don't have brains that can do fascinating things, fungi among them. And so fungi can navigate mazes and find the shortest path between two points in a labyrinth, for example, even though they don't have a brain. So their control, their regulation of their behavior seems to be coordinated both everywhere at once and nowhere in particular.
Mm. And experiments have been done to kind of show them acting in this way.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can grow fungi through microscopic labyrinths and watch them as they nose their way around.
Might this be, because I suppose a traditional view of evolution is based on competition, whereas this is based on cooperation and symbiosis. Could this be an alternative explanation of how we evolved, or maybe a parallel one?
Yeah, so I think it's just the competition is important, but it's been given all of the oxygen, or at least a great proportion of the oxygen in our evolutionary explanations. And cooperation is also a part of how you relate and how organisms relate to each other. And so I think of collaboration as always an alloy of competition and cooperation. I think of a family, think of a band, a touring band. The players can give a captivating performance and still can be competing with each other. Family can function as a high-functioning family, but still be competing as well as cooperating with each other. So if we think of collaboration as just a bigger room, which includes competition, which includes cooperation, then I think we have a more balanced understanding of the way that organisms interact with each other and the way that evolution proceeds.
How many species of fungi are there?
It's a very diverse kingdom of life. So we don't actually know exactly how many there are. The best estimates suggest that there's between 2 and 4 million species of fungi, only about 6 or 7% of which we've described. So over 90% of the fungal world remains unknown to us.
And the spores aren't just in the ground, they're in the air And can they affect weather occasionally?
Absolutely, yeah. So fungi are the largest source of living particles in the air, and they produce 1 million tons of spores every year, which is a huge number. And these spores can influence the formation of water droplets in the atmosphere, and so can cause change patterns of precipitation.
I mean, and the variety is astonishing. Some of them have been in space and survived.
Yes, so fungi have been sent into space. Lichens, which are a symbiotic organism, part of which is a fungus, have been sent into space. And they can dehydrate and they can survive drenched in unfiltered cosmic rays and exposed to huge temperature fluctuations.
And tell us about the zombie mushroom.
The zombie fungi, yeah, they're amazing. So some fungi, to complete their life cycle, they infect insects and they modify insect behavior to suit their needs. So the zombie fungi, there's a whole load of different types of zombie fungi. They might, for example, if they were infecting an ant, they would infect an ant and alter its behavior to make it fascinated by heights. And normally these ants would stay low to the ground. So it can override their instincts, cause them to be fascinated by heights, cause them to climb up a plant stalk and to bite on to the underside of the leaf. And this bite is known as the death grip by researchers. And we think of these death grips not as ant behaviors, but as fungal behaviors. This is really a fungus in ant's clothing. So it raises a lot of questions about where one organism begins and another stops.
And why does the fungi want the ant to climb up?
Oh, because when it's climbed up to the high place, then the fungus will sprout a stalk out of its head and shower down spores on ants passing below. So it's a way of dispersing its spores.
Right. And what happens to the poor unfortunate ant who's climbed up the plant?
Oh, it's dead at this point. And so when it gets to the top, the fungus kills it, stitches it to the leaf, and then digests its insides.
The book is called Entangled Life, How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds and Shape Our Futures. Meldrin Sheldrake, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.